Somebody invented to us a time machine that enables us to travel backward. And it is adjusted for 1,990 years to go back. Who want to take this trip? Somebody invented this time machine for us. Okay. It is only to take us backward. Okay? And it is adjusted now for 1,990 years. Backward. Who would like to take this travel? Why?
Yeah, I think that would hurt.
I wish it's safe. Why, Ragi?
Because it's about like 30 years after Jesus died, and I want to see how
30 years after?
Yes.
Jesus died? Are you quite sure? What happened 1,990 years ago? What was happening? Let us do the math. What year we are now? 2017, right? If we take back 1,990, at which year will it land?
27?
That's 27, are you sure? Who agrees with him? 27, that's right. It's right. What was happening at the 27 AD? What was happening? Yes, Sam.
I believe that was the year Jesus started his ministry.
Jesus started his ministry?
I think.
Or ended?
No, he ended it at 31, right?
In 31?
I think.
33.
33?
Okay, sorry.
Good. Let me tell you something. Our calendar has somehow it needs some adjustment, because they discovered that by this calendar, Jesus had been born at 4 BC. 4 BC, not AD. What happened actually in history? Because we don't need to depend on this. That they depend on some calendar at Constantine the Great time. But then they found that there is something like 4 years difference. So, if we say the year 27 means 27 plus or minus 4?
Plus 4.
Plus or minus 4?
Plus 4.
Sure? Yeah. You are right. So, 27 plus 4. 31. At 31, the Lord was starting, or already started from a year, his ministry. He was doing his miracles. He's feeding the multitude, fish and bread. He's healing, doing something very good. So, after we understand at what time it will bring us to, who would like to do this trip? It's imaginative, of course. Who would like to live the life, the time of Jesus? But let me warn you, at the time of Jesus, there was no mobiles, no cell phones. Just a warning. Okay? And no aeroplanes and transportations, only donkeys.
So does this machine bring us back afterwards?
I can't guarantee. How would life be if we... Guys. How would life be at that time? Very hard, spiritual-wise, in our relation with God. Would it be easier? Well, the opportunity to be a good guy or a real Christian at the time of Jesus is better than today?
No.
Why?
Persecution of the Romans. They could actually be killed for it.
Mm-hmm. But you'll see the miracles.
They wouldn't kill kids,
we
right?
We see miracles for
I'm not quite sure if kids like is like you. Good. Well, we will go back really not by this time machine, this imaginary time machine, but by that we are going to study two characters lived with our Lord at the time he was here in the earth. I'm going to speak today about John or Judas. Okay? And as normal, I need some help from, let us say, five, to read the following five screens. Okay? Raghi, Raif, Sam, Nathan, this is four. Who is the fifth? I read him in the morning. But you did a great job.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let's start. Raghi, please tell us the reference we have first.
John 15, verse 2.
Okay.
During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. Rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around.
Please stand up and read that.
John 13, verse 21. After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at table close to Jesus. So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So that disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it." So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot.
Who's the fellow? Is it?
I thought it was, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "What you are going to do, do quickly." Now no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Jesus had the money bag, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the feast," or that he should give him something to the poor. So after receiving a morsel of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night.
Okay.
Matthew 27:3. Then when Judas the betrayer saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and to the elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." They said, "What is that to you? See to it yourself." And throwing down a piece of silver into the temple, he departed, and he went and hanged himself.
When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home.
Thank you. Now we have the two of them. Always John referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. This is his preferred name. He never in the Gospel of John said, "I am John." He always say about himself, "I am the disciple whom Jesus loved." So we have the both of them, Judas and John. And I will mention things in common between them and things that unique for Judas and things that unique for John. Okay? And among us, we will find ourselves either John or Judas. And we have to be honest with ourselves, to find out who, which one of them we are. If we come to the common things between them, first of all, they were very close to the Lord. Very close to the Lord. They spent more than 3 years with him, eating with him, travel with him, hearing his sermons, seeing his miracles, and everything they do, they did with him. They did with him, okay? They were very, very close. The same like us. We are very close to the Lord because, you know, we attend meetings. We attend conferences like this. We have been called Christians. In all our life, we refer to ourselves as Christians. This, like both of them, we are very close to the Lord. They were very close to the Lord. Okay? The second thing in common with them, that they went with the Lord to the worship places. At that time, the worship place was the temple, the Jewish temple. Okay? They used to go with the Lord to the Jewish temple and hear the Lord telling his sermon there and worship the God there. So we are like them. Both of them, Judas and John, did that. And both of the teams of us, both of the two of us, the Judas and the John, between us, we attend meetings, we attend conferences like this. So in common, we are the same like them. First of all, they are close to the Lord. Then they go to worship places. And then every one of them has a wonderful title. Judas and John. As I mentioned, John has a title. He titled himself by, which is?
Beloved disciple.
Hi. The disciple? Thank you. The disciple whom Jesus loved. He felt the love of the Lord. And you know, one day when Judas came with the soldiers and the others to catch Jesus, he told him wonderful name. My friend, why didst you come? Even Judas, even John, even every one of us has this wonderful title. You are beloved to the Lord. And he's calling you now. So the same in these three attributes. And then they have, every one of them has a missionary. A mission. A ministry. Okay? Judas and John, both of them, sent by the Lord to tell people the gospel. He sent them and gave them the power to make miracles and signs so that they can proclaim in all places that the kingdom of God is near. And we can say that Judas was more important in his ministry than John. Why? Yes, because he was responsible for the collection, responsible for, you can say that he's the one who is responsible to collect the money and to spend on poor people and things like this. So we can find in these four aspects that all of them enjoying wonderful things like being close to the Lord and called by the name of the Lord, by being going with the Lord to the worship temple, worship places, by being loved by the Lord himself. And we are as well like them. And maybe some of us help in some ministry. Maybe some of us help in Sunday school, things like this. But all of us should consider that which of the two we are. Because everything is the same for Judas and John. But as will we see now, there was a big difference between them. Let us speak about Judas. What was unique for him? What's different completely from John? First of all, that he was not clean. It's not me who said that. It is the Bible said that when the Lord said to them, to his disciples, you are clean because of the words I told you. He then said, but not all you, because he knew who will betray him. You know, normally people count the disciples of Jesus, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I'm not quite sure that all of you is awake. I'm not quite sure. I'm afraid. I promise I'll be short as possible, okay? But try to concentrate with me. How many of the disciples? 12. Everyone who sees Jesus with his disciples, he counts the disciples from 1 to 12. But you know, the Lord never counts them 12. He always counts his disciples 11 plus 1. Is there a difference between 12 and 11 plus 1? Mathematically, there is no difference, okay? Because 11 plus 1 equals
12.
But when the Lord, you think?
Hopefully,
yes. It is, I think, from the pure mass, it is 12, okay? People see 12 of them, but the Lord see them two teams. 11, clean, cleansed by the word of God. Because they repented, because they submitted their lives to Jesus, and in the same time, there's one different of them from them. You know, nobody from the people around them could figure who is the one. Even the disciples themselves. At that time, they asked everyone, who will do that? Who will betray the Lord? Who will do that? And I believe that one of those who asked this question was Judas himself. Because the Bible said that all the disciples do the same and said, who is this? Who is he? Who is he? And I believe that pretending that he do not know, Judas said the same. Who is he? Who is he who going to betray the Lord? You know, people could not figure who is real and who is fake. Always the expert. We need an expert to tell us whether this thing is real, is genuine, or fake. And the only one who can understand our hearts is the Lord himself. Because of this, he make the 11 in one team and make Judas by himself different on them. Now, we have to understand that some of us are cleaned by the blood of God, of the Lord. But some of us still need to be cleansed by. First of all, Judas was not clean. The Lord said that he is not clean. Okay? Secondly, he was not redeemed. Because you know from the story, from the account, we can find that he killed himself before the Lord went to the cross. As if the Lord wanted to say to him, you will not live to see what I'm going to do to my redeemed ones. This is like some of us, until today, they are not redeemed. They are Christian by name. They are Christian by families. They are Christian by attending the meetings and the assemblies. But they are not real Christians because a real Christian should be redeemed. What does it mean? It means that I come back with repentance to the Lord, asking him to change my life, to set me free, to let me live the life that he wants me to. He did never do that. So he was not clean. He was not redeemed. And thirdly, and I think once more the Lord is warning us, he didn't hear the warning. The Lord warned him by many ways. First of all, as if he want to say to him, I know everything and I know what you are going to do. He said, some one of you will betray me. He knew well what's his plan. He was thinking many times before that, and he knew well what he's going to do. So at that time, when the Lord said to him, someone will betray me, I think it was a warning to him. And it was the time that he came back to himself and said to himself, what am I going to do? I don't have to do that. And sometimes let me once more, as if the Lord want to say to us, it is very, very dangerous to neglect the warnings of the Lord. When you find sometime something said from some speaker speaking to you in the meeting, as if he is reading what in your mind, don't ask yourself who said to him, who told him. Don't say this is for another one, but accept it as some warning from the Lord himself. He is telling you that you are not clean. Your thoughts are not clean. Your limits are not well drawn. Your. When he warns you from some things in your life, please accept his warning. But the Lord warned him once more. When John asked the Lord, who will going to do that? He said to him, the one who will give him the piece of bread. Okay? And he gave the piece of bread to Judas himself. Sometimes the warning will be very close to me. The warning will be something happened with me. I'm about to make some accident. I'm about to be in some danger. Something with me personally. The Lord is trying to tell me that you are in a danger. You have to understand what's going to do. What are you going to do? But he didn't accept the warning once more. And one, the third time, the Lord said to him, I know everything. Judas, go, do whatever you want to do, and do it quickly. He has three times warning, but he didn't accept this warning. Lastly, I can say that he lost everything. You know, I have a question, but I need to be sure that you hear me. I want to take a photo for them and show them what they look like. They play hard today, eh? The playing time was tough, it seems, eh? Who's awake? Who's awake? Who's awake? Good, 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 good. Yes, that's very good. Thank you. The question is, and this question is for smart people. Okay? This question for smart people. I know all of you are smart. Okay? Did Judas mean and intend that the Lord will be killed? Did he imagine, did he think, did he put in his consideration that the Lord will be killed? Yes or no?
No.
Why? He betrayed him. He went to the priests and said to them, I will give him to you. And he knew that they are going to kill him. What do you think in his mind? There's something I was about to think that he knew well that the Lord will die, but at the part we read from Matthew 27, we hear that when he see that he was condemned, that means that he set to the death, okay? He come back to himself. I think, in my opinion, he think that the Lord will do something he did many times. Many times they try to catch the Lord. They try to push him from the mountain. But all this time, the Lord didn't accept that. They don't allow them to do that. Because we have to understand well that nobody led our Lord to death. He went to death by himself. He delivered himself to death. Judas saw it not one time, more times that people came to catch him, to try to kill him, and he didn't allow them and go, okay.
I have a question. In the passage that you read, it says when Judas had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, he repented, and he brought again the 30 pieces of silver.
Okay.
In verse 4, it says that he said, I have sinned in that I was betrayed. So can you please explain why he is...
His repentance is not acceptable.
Why?
I will tell you why. Because he repented in the wrong place, for the in front of the wrong people. Okay? To repent, I have to go to the Lord and say to him, I have sinned. This is what David did when we spoke about... Did you read Psalm 51? Yeah. Who said, I have sinned to whom? Not to the priests. Okay? Judas said, I sinned. But he said that to the priest. They have no forgiveness. They can't forgive him because he didn't sin against him, against them. He sinned against the Lord himself. So it's some sort of fake repentance. Okay? So at that time when he see that his plan is not working, he planned that he will take the money and the Lord as usual will not allow people to catch him, and then he will be okay in every aspect. He will take this, do this, and do that. Sometimes we can't be, we can't make both of them. We have to take our decision. Sometimes we have to leave things. Sometimes we have to abide things to be with the Lord. So I can see here that he was not clean. He was not redeemed. He did not hear the warning. He lost everything at last. And let me tell you something. Even the money he collected from the priests, he didn't left it for his children, because he returned it back and lost everything, even this bad money. You know, if you betray the Lord for some sin, some particular sin, if you do something against him, you will lose everything, even this sin itself. Even this sin, you will lose it one day, and you will lose everything with this. Let me speak quickly about John, and then I'll give you the time for decision yourself. John enjoyed the changing of life. John was very nervous in his beginning of his life. One day, they were going to a Samaritan village, and this Samaritan village refused him, refused the Lord. Then John came to the Lord and said to him, let us ask for fire come from heaven to destroy this village. And the Lord said to him, you don't know from which spirit you are. What are you doing? What do you think about things like this? He was very tough, very nervous, but you know, we see after this a change in his life. And please follow me. The Lord is willing to change your life. From death to life. From sin to righteousness. And even after you accept Jesus as your Savior, he is willing to change your life day after day. He wants your life to be better than yesterday, and tomorrow will be better than today. He wants to change some aspects in your personality, some weaknesses in your life. He wants to change these things to let you be better and better every day after this. So if you accept the Lord like John did, ask the Lord to change your life day after day, to make you better. You know, every one of us has things that displease him. I have things that displease me. But I'm quite sure that the Lord is working on me day after day to let me be better in every day and every aspect. First of all, he has enjoyed the changing of life. And the Lord is willing to do that to every one of us today. And secondly, he enjoyed the love of Christ himself. So that he called himself not the disciple who loves Jesus. He called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. It's a great difference, actually. We all love the Lord, but it's better to feel the love of the Lord to us. You know, if you feel him, you find your worth. When we're speaking about worth in the first meeting, we said that the best place to find our worth is in his love. I am loved. I am precious in the eyes of the Lord. And he loves me. And he loves me. The most one who spoke about the love of God in his gospel, in the three epistles he wrote, was John. He wrote the most about love. Especially the love of God, which is in Latin, we will find it agape. the wonderful love of God and how the depth of this love. He enjoyed this love, and you are called to enjoy his love as well. Thirdly, we find that he failed but returned. You know, in the beginning he was one of the disciples who flees from the scene when people came to catch the Lord and catched him on the garden. At that time, all the disciples except Peter went away. John was one of them, but he returned back. And you know, when you are in the side of Christ, you may do something wrong, but you always have the way to come back to the Lord. Sometimes we will struggle, and tomorrow we'll speak about how to continue our race, how to finish our race. But you know, if you submit your life to the Lord, you should be sure that he will care about you, and when you fail, he will let you return back. Finally, the Lord honored him by a wonderful ministry. He asked him to care about his mother, about Mary, the precious one. He found the best one to care about him, about her, is John. John, this is your mother. Mother, this is your son. So what a privilege. And what a privilege the Lord will give every one of us who give his life to him, so that he use us, he give our purpose to our life, so that we can live the wonderful life. Let us sum everything, okay? We have four things in common. Can you remember? If not, can you remember, try to see it on the screen. One, close to the Lord. Two, going to worship places. Three, good title. Four, a ministry. Okay. But Judas has four bad things. First of all, he was not clean. Secondly, not redeemed. Thirdly, didn't hear the warning. Fourthly, he lost everything. John, we said about John that he his life changed. Secondly, enjoyed the love of the Lord. Thirdly, fourthly, and now this is the time to ask you about your decision. You have to figure out which of them you are, Judas or John, and to take the proper action so that take your right place. Would you like to stay Judas if you are Judas? If you are, please consider it right. Judas lost everything at the end. And now, if you are John, would you ask the Lord to change your life day after day, to let you better than yesterday, to give you the better every day, every day? We will do something. I would like to split for fives or sixes. Every five or six young people with a leader. And we will take something like 5 to 6 minutes of prayings. I would like everyone to consider what you heard and to figure out which of the two characters you are. We are one of the both, of both. There is no third option. Judas or John and the rest of the disciples. As I told you, the Lord is counting them 11 plus 1. Are you from the 11 or the one who betrayed the Lord? You have to figure out yourself, and you have to take your decision. So we will take this few minutes.